bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
When a person makes a vow, they are putting God on the spot. And her vow was designed in an irresistible way. At that time, there was no priest that was serving God truthfully. The priest then, Eli, before whom this woman was praying, he was serving God, but his children were in a mess. And so after Eli, there was not going to be any priest again because the children of Eli were sleeping with the women in the temple. And God needed a priest. Somebody who would be dedicated to him. And this woman comes and says, God, I'm here to solve that problem for you. Can you imagine the audacity of a woman who says, I want to solve God's problem? You need a priest. I will give you one. So give me a child. And I don't want a girl. Not because girls are bad, because girls cannot become priests at that time in Israel. So I want a boy, a male child. Give him to me and I will dedicate him for the rest of his life unto you. Is it a deal, God? Do we have a transaction in place? And God said, yes, ma'am. You have touched something that is precious to me, and I'm going to touch that which is precious to you. Have you noticed that in her journey of prayer, she had moved from the pain of her heart to solving a problem that was not directly hers, a problem for the whole of Israel, the need for a priest. Her prayer had moved from self-centeredness, just having her needs met, to achieving a purpose bigger than her. Do you know that most of the time, if you've waited on God for a child for so long, and you have the child, you don't want anybody to touch your child? Have you heard of a woman who has prayed and believed God for a child, and the child comes and she gives the child to somebody else? It's almost unthinkable. I mean, you wouldn't have prayed that prayer. Listen to me. If you were Hannah, it would never cross your mind to pray like that. It would never cross your mind to pray and say, God, if you give me this child, I'll give him to you for the rest of your life, of his life. No. You say, God, bless me with this child, and I will take good care of him, and he'll become a doctor. Priest will be totally out of your vocabulary. Because in those days, when you became a priest, you no longer belonged to your parents. You didn't belong to God. You belonged to the church, to the temple. You had been donated permanently. Because even your children belonged to God. You were gone. So when she was vowing to give that child, she knew the implication that she couldn't enjoy the child she was believing God for. And she had no idea that she would have other children. She just wanted one child and dedicate him to God. And if she never had any child again, she will still be happy. And she says, God, that's what I'm going to do. Because you need a priest and I need a child. I'll give you the priest when you give me the child. It's a vow. There are things that move the heart of God, and vows are one of them. Let's look a bit closer at Hannah's vow. A vow normally is a conditional promise based on our expectation of what God will do. And a vow has two parts. And in Hannah's vow, there were two parts. The first was God's part. She says, Look upon my affliction. If you will look upon my affliction and remember me. The first part that God wanted to, she wanted God to play was to, for God to pay attention to her case. She was focusing God's attention on her. She was literally saying, God, I know there are 6 billion people on earth, but forget everybody and come here and look at my case. I need your attention on this one. And not only did she ask for God's attention, she asked also for God's action. Give me a male child. Give me. He wanted God's attention and God's action. But that's God's part. She also had her own part, Hannah's part. It was also twofold. First was her offer. I will give him to you all the days of his life. And I like that little interjection of all the days of his life. Because sometimes we give things to God and guess what? When we are needy, we go back for them, don't we? You say, oh, my child is for God. Then he grows up into a nice man, nice beard, mustache. You watch his steps. You say, wow, I didn't know he'd be that handsome. Can I have him back, oh God? He says, all the days of his life. Many times when people make vows, they want to trick God. They want to trick God. And you see, and sometimes human beings, we are strange, aren't we? We act as if God is some, you know, chief in the village who doesn't know much. Then we'll go and say, well, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. And whilst you're doing that, you know you're tricking him. God knows your heart. And not only does he know your heart, he knows the intentions of your heart. That's why when you make vows, sometimes he doesn't listen. Because he knows you don't mean it. When the time comes, you will change your mind. God, give me this money and I'll give it all to you. Liar. Because God knows when that money comes, you will come for renegotiation. Father, I was the one who said I'll give it all to you. But I know you don't need anything. For that cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. You don't need anything. So I know even if I give it to you, you don't need it. So can I just give you 50% and I take 50? Then after 2 weeks, you look at the 50%. You say, God, I said 50%, but you yourself said 1/10. So can I take 90 and give you 10? Then later on, even the 10%, you come to God and say, God, I will invest the 10% for you, and later on, I will use it to serve you. He knows you. He knows your heart. It cannot be an offering until it is first an offer. When we take offering, we take what has been offered. You offer it in your heart before you give it as an offering. And that's what the woman was doing. She says, I offer. It's not an offering yet because the boy is not born, but I offer. And I offer with all my heart. And God knew that woman's heart and intentions and knew she was not joking. If you want to snatch a miracle out of your misery, don't joke with God. Because he knows your heart and he knows the desire of your heart. So we see her offer here and we see her dedication. Not only did she make an offer, but she dedicated the offering. She said, no razor shall come upon his head. No razor. He's going to be totally dedicated to God. And if you know a bit about the Old Testament laws, that was the highest form of religious dedication anybody could have. To have a situation where you were totally dedicated, where your hair was not cut. It was not a fashion statement, as some have made it now, but it was dedication to God. And she made that offer. There is something about a heart that is sold out to God that is irresistible to the power of God. Jesus Christ put the same process into other words, and he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." In other words, we can get all other things if our heart is right. So how come all other things are not added to us? Because we are not seeking first. Our priorities are wrong. Our desires are wrong. Even our prayers are wrong. Our prayer motives are wrong. We pray for the wrong things. And it's very easy to use words which have no meaning to you. It's very easy to come to God and say, "God, I'm making a vow." And you know it's not a vow, because you will break it very soon. Many of us have made vows to God we didn't keep. And then you come to him and make another vow. When your case is desperate and you make a genuine vow to God, his face will be turned towards you. Because God is a God of covenants. And when we covenant with him and we totally believe in the covenant, he has nothing to do but to be committed to that covenant. He had to come into the same situation with Abraham. When Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, he said to Abraham, "I swear by myself." God himself swore. He swore an oath. The Bible says he didn't need to swear because his word is yes and amen. But because of the action of Abraham, he said, "Abraham, I swear that in multiplying, I will multiply you. And I will increase your seed for all generations. Even when your seed, your descendants fail me, I will watch over my word." And thousands of years, he's still watching over that word. The seed of Abraham. Even when they don't acknowledge the Jehovah of Abraham, get blessed. Because one man caused God's face to turn unto him. This morning, you can also turn God's face unto you. You can turn his face. Not only did Hannah vow, but something happened after she vowed. The priest, Eli, saw that something was taking place. He couldn't read it well. He thought the woman was drunk. I have a feeling it was not just because her mouth was speaking and there were no words. I think that the external gestures of her body also gave the indication that she was not altogether sound. I'm sure she was praying. Oh yeah. If she was just quietly praying, you know, nobody would think she was quiet. She was drunk. She was just... Those days, there was no Holy Ghost baptism, so there was no tongues. And so she couldn't transition from Hebrew to tongues. The only thing she could do is let her heart speak, but there was no tongues to speak, so there was no language coming forth. These days we pray in tongues. So when you get to that area, the Holy Ghost takes over your prayer. But she was just there, and her spirit, it was almost as if she had a broken heart. The priest looked at her and said, something is going on in this woman's life. She must be drunk. Remember Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles the first day, they also thought they were drunk. There is an intensity with God and with His Spirit that gives an outward resemblance of drunkenness. But it's an intensity with God. It's not gentleman prayers where your hands are akimbo. Oh Lord, You are the Lord, Jehovah Almighty. For Thine is the kingdom, my God, my Lord. Even in prayer, you are trying to impress God with your acquired foreign accent. Even in prayer, you can't even throw that rubbish accent away when you are praying and face God real, real. And my Lord, I don't know what happened to Christian. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Stop that hypocrisy and face God in truth. Even your prayer is fake. Fake accent, fake everything. Eli gave her a word. The word came in two forms. First, there was the command. The command was, go in peace. Go in peace. That was a command. It was not a suggestion. Go in peace. That means get up and move on. And then there was a promise. He says, the Lord grant the request that you've made before Him. Eli didn't know what the request was because the woman didn't speak out the request. But he says, whatever you feel so intensely about, may God give it to you. You know, sometimes you see people praying and they pray so intensely that you forget about your own prayer and just say, Lord, whatever they are asking you, do it for them. Because these people, they are not joking. I mean, you are just praying for a nice pair of shoes. In the name of Jesus, I claim my new shoes. I mean, if you don't get a shoe, you'll still survive. But you see somebody in the life and death prayer, and it makes your prayer look very, very carnal. Because you see, this person seriously needs a touch from God. I don't know what it is, but God, whatever it is, let her have it. Eli said, lady, I don't know what you've been talking to God about, but whatever it is, may the Lord God Jehovah do it for you. And I like her attitude after that. Three things she did after. Let's look at Hannah's step of faith. First is that she received the word. She said, let me find favor in your sight. In other words, let it happen as you have said. Let it happen as you have said. Secondly, she stepped out in faith. The Bible says she went her way. She went her way. And thirdly, she had a changed attitude. The scripture says her face was no longer sad. Remember when I was teaching about the steps of faith of her prayer, I said she had to move from frustration to faith. How do I know she had moved to faith? Well, the Bible says she was praying with her heart, but not only that, the end result of the situation she was in tells you she was walking in faith. Because if she wasn't walking in faith, even after that word, she would still be crying. Is that not so? Even after Eli says, woman, go in peace, she would say, I haven't finished. I have to cry some more. But she was a woman of faith. She knew that God had moved her from her pain into her result. And the Bible says she got up from that place. She went to get some food to eat and she started smiling. All that time, she still didn't have a child. She didn't wait for the miracle to manifest for her before her attitude changed. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. There are those who are waiting for a sign and who will never see a sign. And there are those who are excited about the promise of God, and the signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Not those who look for the signs, but those who believe are those who have signs and wonders following them. And that is the important transition, because after God speaks into your life, after a prophetic word comes, your attitude will either confirm that the word you heard is true or that you have no faith in the word you heard. And she could have still continued praying. She has carried this burden for so long. She could have still gone through the routine. There are people whom God has already intervened in their situation who are still interceding because they want a sign. You've prayed, you've cried to God, and God has assured you, my son, my daughter, it is well. But you are still praying. You're still crying, oh God, oh, oh God, oh, oh God, show me something. God, show me something. God, let me see at least something little so I would. No. You have to believe before you see. You don't see before you believe. The Thomas kind of faith is the faith that says, unless I see and touch it, I wouldn't believe. The Abraham kind of faith is believe and you will see. If you want to snatch a miracle out of your misery, you may start with pain. You may go through frustration, but you must persist and you must get into faith and you must get to a place where your priorities have changed from having a miracle that satisfies your personal need to having a miracle that serves the purposes of God. And it is in that you hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, you don't continue interceding. You change your attitude, rejoice, and move on to prayer point number two. Because God has done it. People will look at you and say, well, these days you look very happy. Say, well, the Lord has done it. Oh, has it happened? Yes. Oh, Because people only are excited about the physical. And if you tell them, well, you know, God spoke to me in my spirit and I heard him and he says, it is done. And that's why I'm rejoicing. They say, oh. Okay. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you. All they are disappointed. Because for them, the only way you can rejoice is when you are holding the physical miracle in your hand. But that miracle will touch your hand if you first believe it has. That's why he says to us in Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He didn't say what things soever you desire, when you pray, you shall have them. He says, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Then you shall have them. Having them is based on believing that you receive them. If you can't believe you will receive, you will never have it. You can become a chronic intercessor, a chronic prayer warrior in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, praying hard and having no answers. Because you can't believe that you receive. You have to believe. There are some things you're going to pray on today. Some you may have to continue praying, but some things God will give you a strong assurance. Maybe this morning in the service, or maybe when you go home. But when God gives you the assurance in your spirit, and you hear it, and he tells you, go your way, For I have gone before you and I've solved that problem. When he tells you that, receive that word and let your face no longer be sad.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.